When my little ones were little, I would sing as part of our bedtime routine. And one of the songs that I sang was the Ballad of Erica Levine by the late Bob Blue, which you just heard. My kids went to a community service-oriented performing arts charter school, K through 8, and every Friday there were kids who performed, and so actually me and one of my daughters performed that for the school. It's one of our kind of beloved memories. I loved Erica's sense of self, her understanding of gender roles, how she owned her own body, how she understood romantic partnership as mutual, as inherently egalitarian, and I wanted to pass all of that onto my kids. I also sang a song that had been introduced to me as a young adult and then later turned up in our teal hymnal. Its chorus goes, "You can be anybody you want to be. You can love whomever you will. You can travel any country where your heart leads and know I will love you still. You can live by yourself. You can gather friends around. You can choose one special one. And the only measure of your words and your deeds will be the love you leave behind when you're gone." Written by then Fred Small, now UU minister Fred Small, the official title of this song is Everything Possible. At the end of long days, exhausting days, tricky days, delightful days, as an only parent, I sang those lyrics so achingly to them, wanting to convey the depth and breadth not only of my love, but my faith-infused unconditional acceptance. There are girls who grow up strong and bold. There are boys, quiet and kind. Some race on ahead, some follow behind, some go in their own way and time. Some women love women, some men love men, some raise children, some never do. You can dream all the day, never reaching the end of everything possible for you. Everything possible. You've likely noticed that human expression exists along a wide array of everything possible continuums. And while this is true and natural, our human brain, with its need for meaning-making and its limitations, cuts these wide continuums into categories. And we end up forgetting how we socially construct the world, and that is not how the natural world actually exists. And from this ensues inequity and invisibility. Take human sexuality and gender identity. Only recently, along the long arc of human history, have we integrated that sexual orientation exists along a continuum, such as the one that's described by the 7-point Kinsey scale, with one side as exclusively homosexual attraction and the other side exclusively heterosexual attraction. It turns out that something like this is true for gender as well. There are not just two genders, not two opposite genders. Remember, gender is a social and cultural signifier, whereas the word sex, like male and female, are biological markers. And it turns out that there's actually more than two of them as well. None of this is new. Nor is it a concept that is reserved to a single culture or region of the world. In cultures around the globe, from ancient times until now, there has been the presence of individuals and communities that acknowledge and sometimes even honor gender identities beyond the binary system with which our society seems so enamored. Sometimes, no matter how knowledgeable or compassionate or hip we might consider ourselves, we find ourselves outside of the loop. And this is especially true, at least for me, given the accelerated change, pace of change that's going on. Are you guys like overwhelmed with how quickly things happen? Kind of a little bit, right? It's hard to keep up. For some of us, while we have integrated the sexual orientation continuum into our lives, we might not yet be quite so aware of the brave and not really new world of non-binary gender identity. But it's time for us as a congregation to catch up. Last week, the membership committee rolled out new name tags, and thank you to all of you who had a part in making that project happen. And with these new name tags, we can now know each other's names without putting small holes in our clothing each week. Praise small mercies, right? With these name tags, we have been invited to make a meaningful gesture of inclusivity and justice by writing in the pronouns by which we choose to be known. You might be asking yourself, how is this a gesture? Writing your pronoun on a name tag, how is that a gesture of justice or inclusivity? Perhaps your mind is saying, I don't really get this gender or personal pronoun thing. Isn't it obvious what gender I am? Or perhaps your mind is saying, what's the big deal? Aren't we all humans? Or maybe there's a little corner of your heart in touch with an inner grammar enforcement officer who is offended by the modern use of they for a single person. Notice what is arising in you. Defensiveness, curiosity, it's all okay. But let us also follow the sage advice I heard once and try to live my life by. It is okay to be ignorant. It's just not okay to stay that way. It is okay to be ignorant. It is just not okay to stay that way. So we are lucky as Unitarian Universalists because we have OWL. And of course, I'm not talking about the nocturnal bird with its big eyes. I'm talking about OWL, our whole lives, the sexuality education curriculum that we developed in partnership with the United Church of Christ, the UCCs. It is a science-based curriculum predicated on the belief that we all are better humans when we are equipped with knowledge about all aspects of sexuality, not just reproduction, and certainly not just abstinence. For several years, I taught OWL to sixth graders in the congregation where I raised my children. And I have also been trained as an OWL facilitator for adults. Doesn't that sound fun? Right? They have curriculum from kindergarten, and they're right now all the way through, and they're developing one for elders. Very, very cool. In addition to what I learned in these trainings and in teaching, I have spent the last few years learning from my older daughter, who is transgender. Add to that listening to colleagues and friends, and typically they're younger than myself, my heart has swelled in the best of ways. I will also say that sometimes my mind has been blown, always eventually for the better, but not without some accompanying confusion and awareness of my own limitations, which is always humbling and rarely pleasant. Are folks for whom neither male nor female describes their experience. Sometimes they feel like they are some of both or neither. For some, rather than male or female, the term genderqueer or gender fluid feels closer to their truth. And while this might be unfamiliar to you or might I don't get it. What is of primary importance is honoring the inherent worth and dignity of each person, right? Our first principle, by following that person's lead as to how they want to be called. Follow what their name tag says. And if the name tag isn't filled out, it's a voluntary thing, friends. Practice not assuming the person's gender, right? That it's based on what you think they look like. It's hard to do. I catch myself all the time, but I'll be in the trenches with you. It's good practice. If the name tag says they, their, theirs, this is a singular pronoun as recognized by most everyone under the age of 30. Even the American Dialect Society in 2015 chose the singular pronoun they as their word of the year, recognizing its emerging use as a singular pronoun to refer to a known person, often as a conscious choice by a person rejecting the traditional gender binary of he and she. And just so that I can continue being clear about terminology and all these shifting cultural norms, I want to be clear that gender identity is different than being or becoming transgender. And you probably already know this. I apologize for stating the obvious, but we're all at different points on our learning path. So I'll say that transgender is when a person knows themselves to be a different gender than the body into which they were born. For instance, when a person is born into a male body and assumed by everyone around them to be a man, but in fact, she knows herself to be a woman, regardless if she has a penis or not. This is important, but it can be fundamentally upshifting for some of us. I count this community as fortunate that we have had congregants who are out as transgender because it makes this a richer, more vibrant place. It makes my world better. We are fortunate to have families who listen closely to what their children are saying about their own gender rather than making assumptions or following tradition. We have families who are at the forefront of this cultural shift that upends the gender binary, as well as honors those who bravely, valiantly tell their experience of who they are, that it doesn't match their external genitalia or preconceived cultural norms around gender that are constricting. And here is my question for us. How can we be the spiritual community they need us to be? How can we be the religious congregation we need us to be in order to live into our values and our faith that grounds itself on holy inclusivity? How can we be the religious congregation that the local community and the wider world needs? Because there are people out there who are not loved as whole, not loved as holy, and they are counting on us. Why should you, especially if this is outside your ken, outside your comfort zone, why should you do this? Why do it if it does set a kilter your world in deeply fundamental ways? My answer, selfishly, is because I'm asking you to. Because truly, I need you to. Alone, I cannot create a world where, like the hymn says, everything possible is, in fact, possible for my child. Despite my very best efforts and the loving power of my heart, I cannot create a welcoming future for my daughter, for either one of them, to be the wholest person she knows herself to be without help, without a whole wide community of people to bring it into being. I need you. My child needs you. Children in this congregation, whether they are still growing or grown up, they need you. Your child, your grandchild, your great-grand, no matter their gender identity, they need you too. Especially now, when we speculate about what might be in store for public education in the coming years, ours must be a refuge of love and inclusivity, of honoring people for their whole selves, of providing science-based, culturally relevant responses when they come seeking information or are filled with longing because they do not see themselves reflected in their textbooks or in media and still refuse to conform. It is important to remember that when we are quiet on issues related to sexual orientation and gender identity, even if our hearts are full of love and acceptance, our children and youth who are watching us, even when we think they're like totally bored of us, they're watching us. And they will fill in that silence with what the rest of the world is saying and think that that is what we are thinking and what we are believing. Perhaps you, some of you I believe, remember what it was like when this congregation became a welcoming congregation. Even for you congregations, this is rarely an easy process. Some folks choose to grow, learn anew, and others choose to leave, not seeing themselves in the direction the congregation is intentionally choosing. And sometimes that fear comes out as if they're afraid that we'll be a gay church. I'm pretty sure we didn't become a gay church in 2004 when you made that choice. But what you were doing was living into your values deeply as you know it. I have been curious. I wasn't here for that process. But I'm aware that we claim this status. We are a welcoming congregation, but it's not particularly visible. We have a little sign just inside the entrance that most people walk by and don't even notice. How many of you are aware that we have a little sign? Okay, so a third of us. Good. Good observation skills. We do host a gay AA meeting. And I am super proud of that, and we should be super proud of that. But I found it interesting when I came here. We don't have a rainbow flag anywhere, inside or outside on that sign, even though there's kind of a perfect place where it would fabulously hang. It's just curious. Our pews could be filled with people who, when we say our bond of union and get to the part that says his or her own, and a really important act of progress in the day when he was the so-called universal pronoun. How many of us remember those days? Right? But now recognize it as not as inclusive as it was meant to be. Our congregation could have, should have, needs to have more people trained as OWL teachers so that we can ensure that our children and their parents know that we are fully informed and can teach them well. The religious education program is looking to have two more people receive training to be able to help our 7th through 9th graders next year. If you are at all interested, please talk to Jillian right away. And me, I'm always happy to go on and on and on about my experience of teaching OWL. When I did this in my home congregation, some of the holiest moments I have ever experienced in congregational life were there teaching sixth graders. And for those of us who have the privilege of being born into a body that matches our experience of gender, we can become more comfortable, more practiced at offering our chosen pronouns, like I do at the bottom of all my emails now, like we can on our name tags. It's an act of compassion and solidarity for those for whom this, their sense of wholeness depends upon it. And we should not leave them feeling out on their own, vulnerable. This is what I know. Our children are watching. Other people's children are watching. And some of them are paying close enough attention as to whether we will be a source of something bigger than welcome, a source of hope, a lifeline, a connection to sanity and wholeness. Our children, yours and mine, whether you raise them in your home or are part of raising them here in the congregation, are watching and learning about the kind of inclusive, loving future we are creating for and with them. You can be anybody you want to be. You can love whomever you will. You can travel any country where your heart leads and know I will love you still. You can live by yourself. You can gather friends around. You can choose one special one. And the only measure of your words and your deeds will be the love you leave behind when you're done. May it be so.